We're actually excited to have two guests in this morning in studio. Ladies first, Representative Barbie Hart, how are you?
I'm just doing fantastic, I suppose, given the state where we are right here in the elections. But I'm always happy to be here, guys. I almost thought you were going to say, and my co-host, seriously, this must be how tired I am, co-host Julie Mason and co-host Barbara Ehart.
Yes. Okay, well, we could all be co-hosts.
And we can pinch hit. You're all right. You're athletic.
We should welcome our fourth co-host, okay. Attorney General Raul Labrador. How are you, Attorney General? It's good to have you with us this morning.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, well, it is quite the election cycle, especially here in East Idaho. And Attorney General, we talked to you, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and you have lent your endorsement to a number of candidates here in East Idaho. You feel like these races are very, very important.
I think they're very important. You know, I think Barb is doing a great job. I think Julianne Young is a great candidate. I think there's so many good candidates. David Worley is a good candidate. But the reason I think these races are so important is that in your area, probably more than any other area in Idaho, you have a bunch of legislators who say one thing to get elected, and they go back to the legislature and they do something really totally the opposite of what they say. And the reasons I like especially Barb and Julianne is because I have known them as legislators. I have seen what they have done. They have kept their word to their constituents. Doesn't mean that we agree on everything. You know, sometimes we may disagree on things, but when we disagree, they do it based out of principle, is not based on pressure from special interest groups or anything like that. And I have a lot of respect for people like that.
Yeah, well, and we're happy to see you coming over. And maybe, Barb, talk about the event tonight. The Attorney General will be there, and there's others coming up too. So
absolutely. Can I just say this first? And I mean, obviously, Raul's being gracious enough to do an event tonight, 5 to 7 at Club Apple. But if you'll let me, I have been so impressed. We are so fortunate to have Raul as our Attorney General. You know, I remember even before I hit the legislature, I was on a national show and I was lamenting the fact that our former Attorney General specifically had said that he didn't want to go after lawsuits on bills that we're just going to end up losing and spend a lot of money. And I was just shocked. I'm like, boy, talk about an open blueprint to the ACLU to just sue everything, knowing that you won't go defendant. And Raul has been phenomenal. He is he's not only defending our legislation that should be defended, but he's also signing on and helping and vice versa with all of his connections in other states, just making their appeals so much stronger. Raul's amazing, and Raul, thank you so much. I don't take your endorsement lightly, and I'm very appreciative of the courage you've shown.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead,
Jim. Well, I was going to say, we've got both of you in the same room, and we've got just a few minutes, so I would like each of you to talk about your experience when you both were at the Supreme Court, and we were defending, as a collective, but especially you two, that were on the forefront, defending the fairness in women's sports for women and girls who deserve to be defended. So, Barb, why don't you talk a little bit about that, and then maybe we can hear from you, Attorney General.
Well, I'll try not to cry, but I know on July 3rd, we are getting down to the end as to when the Supreme Court will accept and make mention of who they're going to listen to, and the July 3rd was like the last day, and I woke up that morning to my phone just blowing up, and it was Matt Sharp from Alliance Defending Freedom who had called me, and he was just saying, congratulations, we're going to the Supreme Court. And I just started crying. And shortly thereafter, I'd gotten a hold of Raul. You know, we had some celebratory moment, and I just made sure they understood, hey, I'm going to be there, right? You know, just make sure I have one of the tickets. And Raul promised me I'd have one of those tickets that they give to Idaho. And so to sit in there in that sacred room and just, you know, even before everything started, to sit where they defend our Constitution was a humbling. I mean, a humbling experience. And kudos also to Senator Risch. His staff had contacted me. They wanted me to go in with him. And so I actually sat with Senator Risch. Senator Risch has also been incredibly supportive all the way. But But yeah, to have, as Raul knows, when this legislation first was being presented and passed, the AG at the time gave a recommendation that, yeah, no, this isn't any good, can't be supported. And I'm like, oh, man, this is really hard. The Democrats are using it on the floor. And then lo and behold, you know, we get a change. And but even before then, after they said it couldn't be supported, then they had to support it. It was just weird. So yeah. That's not Raul. Anyway, he's fantastic.
Attorney General, would you like to respond?
Yeah, I think people forget this. You know, today it seems like common sense, like it was 10, 20 years ago, that boys should not be participating in girls' sports. But Idaho was the first in the nation to pass a law like this. Barb was the one who sponsored the legislation. And the amount of pressure that she received from outside groups was off the charts. The NCAA was saying that they were going to boycott the state of Idaho. Mm-hmm. All these corporations were saying that they were not going to come to the state of Idaho. The governor was not even sure he wanted to sign this legislation because of all the pressure he was getting from outside groups. In fact, until the last minute, nobody knew if he was going to sign it or not. People were saying that this was unnecessary, this was irrelevant, that Idaho was going to lose all these sponsorships. So today, it seems like this was a simple thing to do, but the courage that Representative Ehart had at the time was something that I really respect and admire, and that's why I think she should be reelected.
Well, yeah, that among many other reasons. But Barb, you really were the tip of the spear, and that legislation really, it made it much easier for other states to step up and do that. And it really started a nationwide thing. And I think in a lot of ways it secured your legacy, regardless of how the election turns out on
sure.
May 19th. Your legacy is unmatched.
That's so kind. Yes. You know, when all that happened, the uniqueness, I mean, for me, it was still definitely a spiritual experience, but the uniqueness was, as I was walking, pondering this one night, you know, why doesn't someone do something about this? As I was following the Connecticut gals, and, you know, it came so strongly to me that I needed to do something because, one, as a lawmaker, but two, I had the credibility. I was a Division I athlete, a 15-year Division I women's basketball coach. I had the credibility, which is, you know, looking back, that was kind of important. And so then after getting that done, I started getting invited out and flown to all these states to start testifying because, remember, courage begets courage, but we didn't have any courage yet. And so I was this main testifier coming in and helping both the legislator who was doing it and, of course, you know, answering the main questions with all the committees. And then in 2022, as we had flown out to the NCAA championships in Atlanta, Georgia, the swimming championships, there to watch Leah Thomas swim, we saw Riley Gaines, and something clicked in her. Riley, again, courage begets courage. She started questioning, and she is what we needed to even take the movement, just boom, help it blow up, and, you know, just really take off. And, of course, Riley is a friend of mine, and I think she's a friend now of Raul Labrador's, and she's just, I mean, she's well-spoken, beautiful, and just what a great spokesperson to help us move this forward.
Real quick, how many states have legislation now?
Including ours, 27.
Okay, so
that's fantastic.
Over half the states. Attorney General, I want to ask you, and both of you, I'd love your opinions here. But one of the themes that we're seeing from a lot of these oppositional candidates is they're sick of the cultural issues. In fact, your own opponent said he doesn't want to hear the word bathroom ever again, which is another way of saying, I don't want to fight these battles. They deal with budgets, and they're okay with that, and that's still important. But as long as there's an assault on our culture, there has to be a defense of the culture.
Exactly.
And in many ways, that's what these laws are, whether it's porn in libraries or it's bathrooms or it's, you know, playing on the athletic court. And I'd love the Attorney General's perspective on these politicians that are basically, they don't seem to have it in them to want to fight these cultural battles at the State House.
Neil, I think you could not have said it. I don't think I could say it better than you just said it, that as long as we have these cultural, we're not the ones that are bringing the cultural battles forward. It's the other side that is bringing these cultural battles to the fore. We're just defending the culture. Imagine 10 years ago, people saying that it's okay for boys to go in girls' bathrooms. Imagine 10 years ago that people would say it's okay for boys to participate in women's sports. 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Imagine 10 or 15 years ago that people said it's okay for libraries to give small children explicit sexual books about masturbation and other sexual improprieties. All those different things, you would think they would be unthinkable. They started pushing those things on us. They started pushing it to children, to the forefront. And all we're doing is we're trying to defend against those things. And I think when you're a legislator, you have to take tough votes. It's easy to vote, honestly, for tax cuts. It's easy to vote for some of these things. These are the things that show you that when you're in the crucible, are you willing to stand up for the things that actually change and affect the lives of children, the lives of our families, the lives of individuals? And if you're not willing to stand up for those things, you have no room. You have no place in the state legislature.
Mm. Yeah. Barb.
100%, and that's exactly what I've been saying, that these cultural issues, they were perpetrated upon us. We had no choice. Remember, it was only, 5 years ago even, that if you weren't affirming all of the things that the gender ideology and the LGBT XYZ had to say, then you might lose your job. You would be deplatformed. You would be an intimidated, bullied, and silenced. You know, and that's where in fighting back, I mean, it was the sports that really started it. I mean, remember, North Carolina tried to do the bathroom bill in 2016 and absolutely got that shut down and annihilated. And people just, I guess, they were too scared to do that. But when the LGBT and trans community decided to mess with the daughters of mothers and fathers, granddaughters, they went way too far. They had no idea what it meant when you stepped into the sports arena to try to take that away. And that opened the door for us to reverse everything else. One of my key things is families first. It always has been. Parental rights, family first. And this is what you have to do to protect traditional family values. Because traditional family values is what has allowed our society to thrive without chaos and confusion. Because remember, all of these things create chaos and confusion. And a child can't thrive in chaos and none of us can thrive in chaos and confusion.
Yeah.
I know the answer to this question, but I'd just love you to affirm it for our audience, Attorney General. I believe it's 6 people have already filed lawsuit against the bathroom bill that was recently passed. How is the AG's office going to defend that?
The way we have defended all these balls, all of these bills, it's important for us. I hire the best lawyers that I can, on government salaries. But I have gone out and recruited people who are working for large firms, who are making really good money, and who have been willing to do public service, to come to the Attorney General's office and work very, very hard to make sure that we defend these laws. We defend them aggressively. One of the things that the prior Attorney General was doing is that he was afraid of losing in the court, so he would just sort of capitulate and cave on some of these issues. I will take these cases all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. In fact, I think Idaho is a little bit lucky because we live in the Ninth Circuit. The prior Attorney General saw that as a bad thing because the Ninth Circuit would always rule against us. Well, the fact that we live in the Ninth Circuit means that we have a better opportunity to take our cases to the U.S. Supreme Court and make major, and actually have major policies coming out of the state of Idaho that set precedent and law for the whole United States. So I'm looking forward to all these battles. I think it's unfortunately that we have to do these things. But I do remind people, some of your listeners who might be squeamish about this, if we don't fight aggressively, the other side will win every single time. The other side will say, hey, if Idaho is willing to cave on these issues, then they get to set the law and the precedent for the whole United States. And it should be Idaho that should be setting the precedent for the whole United States, not the other way around.
Amen.
So while I have both of you here, another sort of kind of minor, but a sub-controversy that has emerged is over funding for the Internet Crimes Against Children Department that the Attorney General leads. Barb, you've been accused of voting to cut funding for that, but you just simply voted for the budget that was in front of you that was funding that.
Let me be clear, too. I voted for Raul's budget twice.
Yeah.
And I want to make this very clear so that people out there understand, because it's been twisted. That first vote was defeated 33-37, and in Southeast Idaho, there were only three of us that voted for Raul's budget. Now, remember, with Wendy Horman and I, about 6 years ago, were the ones who helped to get ICAC an extra position here in Idaho Falls. We support ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children. So there was myself, David Cannon, and Tanya Burgoyne in Pocatello that voted for Raul's bill, the Attorney General's bill that had that in there. Every other legislator in the House, because this is a House vote, voted against it. I had to help beg, you got to bring that back, we got to do XYZ. They dropped $100,000 out of it, because you got to do some sort of change. So they took $100,000 out of Raul's budget. It came back almost. Now, hear me. I'm going to do this without calling. Maybe I should just call them out, because one of them was on here and said something completely differently. Now, all the Southeast Idaho legislators voted for it, including my seatmate, including Rod Furness, Gerald Raymond, those up there in Rexburg. Two of our Idaho Falls legislators, I'm leaving out, they didn't vote for it. They didn't vote for it twice, and yet I'm the one being accused of not supporting it. Okay, so you can't argue, oh, I didn't vote for it for the second time because they took out ICAC. Then why didn't you vote for it the first time? So anyway, yeah.
So can I correct Barb about one thing?
Sorry.
Sure.
No, you actually voted for my budget three times.
Oh, three times.
You voted for the initial budget.
Yep.
And then you voted for the two enhancements.
Right.
So this is what's so disgusting about politics is, Neil, if you think about it, they came after people who voted for my budget two or three times, and they lied about their records. But while they're, those same groups are defending the people who actually voted against my budget.
Yeah.
So because I forcefully defended the work that our office does, and I testified before the JFAC very forcefully about why we needed these money to be restored because of the work that we're doing in the Office of Attorney General, they knew that that was a good message. So this is how hypocritical these people are. They knew that my message was strong, but the people they chose to attack with my message was the people who actually supported me, not the two legislators in your city who actually have voted against my budget twice. It's disgusting.
It is. It's kind of absurd when you think about it, because I remember it came up as one of the last questions in one of the debates.
Yep.
And one of the lawmakers said, well, it's because I didn't think that it was funded enough. But in reality, that was the only option to vote for to fund ICAC, right? I mean, is that?
Oh, well, correct. But why didn't she vote for it the first time? And I told
her. When there was more funding.
There was more funding. It's because they didn't support it. They're hypocrites.
So in the end, Raul, don't you think it was just because they don't like you?
Yes. If you look at it, one of those legislators actually sued the state of Idaho over parental choice. We beat her in the Supreme Court 5-0. And she had to pay attorney's fees. It's all personal, and I think that's what's horrible about this. You know, I leave my personal issues on the side. I believe in issues that, you know, you're either right or wrong about an issue, and it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat who's supporting it. I will support it myself. I leave my personal issues on the side. These people cannot leave their personal issues on the side. They decided to vote against me. It wasn't voting. They don't like me. They don't like the work that I'm doing. They don't like that I'm being so effective. They don't like that I actually do the work that the Attorney General should be doing, because they wish that I was actually killing legislation by writing these awful decisions, opinions that the prior Attorney General was doing. They don't want to work hard, so they don't want to do the things that are necessary for us to do our work in the Attorney General's office. I say, just leave your personal issues aside. Agree with me or disagree with my politics, that's okay. But when we're talking about saving children, and doing the work that my ICAC unit is doing, you should be voting for that budget.
Yeah. All right. Really quick, let's talk about the event again tonight, Barb.
Well, you know, Raul has been gracious enough to come over, and he's doing an event for me this evening. It'll be at Club Apple, 5 to 7. And, you know, if you're a supporter of Raul or I, please come out. Drop in. We're going to have an opportunity to hear. I know that part of it, we're definitely going to address the fairness of women's sports. People are so interested to hear that. And some have heard it from my perspective, but to hear it from Raul's, we had a gala that night and Raul got to speak, and what a fantastic job he did, you know, in front of the TV cameras and all. He just represented Idaho so gosh darn well. And I think people need to, you know, I certainly I've gotten a lot of credit, but to stand with your attorney general and even to have, you know, Senator Risch there, but to stand with these guys with Idaho and support us, it's just awesome. So I'm looking forward to this. Please come join us. It won't cost anything. We'll be downstairs in Studio One.
Okay. And you want to give us a little movie trailer teaser version of your message tonight, Attorney General?
Barb is awesome and she should be reelected.
Short and sweet.
Right. I love that. Well, Attorney General Labrador, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We look forward to having you here this evening. You'll also be doing some events tomorrow in Shelley for Julianne Young and David Worley as well. Is that's tomorrow?
That's 1 to 3 tomorrow. I right now I'm blanking on the venue.
Well, you want to go to Worley's page
at the North Bingham County Park.
Oh yeah.
Tomorrow at 1 for Julianne Young, and then tomorrow morning, if you go to his website, there's you need to sign up for the event, and it's in Pocatello for Worley.
All right. Good luck to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. It's